Gonna build a mountain from a little hill. Gonna build me a mountain, at least I hope I will. Gonna build a mountain, gonna build it high. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, I only know I'm gonna try.
Hello, success friends. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jerry, and we're here to ensure your success.
Today's show is brought to you by the Thomas Fierce Insurance Agency, your fierce choice for insurance. My special guest is Morgan Fierce, teacher of math at South High in Minneapolis. And Morgan, I think you're a finalist for top math teacher. What's the name of that award?
It's the PAE MST Award.
The PAE
MST.
MST Award. And we'll talk more about that in a minute, okay? But in the meantime, say hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
And welcome, success friends. Thank you for joining us today. Our show is dedicated to all of us that have a dream, to all of us that want to be somebody, that want to build a mountain from a little hill. Success friends, all you need is to understand the science of success, principles that when applied and utilized, help you reach your goal. Our success principle of the day is persistence and the probability of possibility. Kind of sounds like a little Sherlock Holmes episode, doesn't it, Morgan?
Sure does, Tom.
Kind of exciting, huh?
Exciting.
Oh, but Morgan, we're going to start our show with a quote from the great Vince Lombardi. Okay, are you ready for the Vince Lombardi quote of the day, Morg? Going to move your
ready,
give you some
Tom.
Excitement here, right? Vince Lombardi said, "We would accomplish many more things if we did not think of them as impossible." Quite apropos for today's success principle. Wouldn't you agree, Morgan?
I would agree, Tom.
Success friends, though, I do want to take a moment and introduce my wonderful guest and daughter, Morgan Fierce. Morgan, I can proudly say that you are an ambitious person. You, first and foremost, survived growing up with me, right? That was quite the challenge.
Still working on it, Tom.
Yeah, so am I, Morgan.
But, Morgan, you excelled in high school. You received a scholarship to Chicago University, came back to Minnesota, still searching for your grand obsession, which I think you knew what it was deep down. But you tried some things out, and you finally decided to go and teach, right?
That's true, Tom.
Which, for the students of South High that get to be in your class, that really is a blessing.
Hey, Morgan, can you teach Tom to quit moving his lips when I talk?
Jerry, Morgan is a math teacher, and I really don't think any of our success friends saw my mouth move just now. But Morgan, tell us, if you can, how did you come upon your grand obsession? Or maybe let's start with this. What is your grand obsession?
Well, Tom, I would say every year, you know, we have different grand obsessions.
Okay.
But this year, you know, like one of our grand obsessions was to make math a grand obsession for every single student.
I like that.
You see what I'm saying?
I like that.
Our goal is to make every single student excited and persistent at getting smarter at mathematics.
Is that a challenge?
Oh, extremely.
And why is that such a challenge? Kids just to this day, they still don't like math, right?
Kids to this day. Talk about society in general.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's not just kids.
There's a little thing called math phobia. I think every person I've talked to today, when I tell them I'm a math teacher,
they just roll their eyes.
Yeah.
People don't like that.
Yeah, it's a little weird, I think, because math is pretty fun.
You think math is fun?
Yeah.
See, exciting. There we go. That's a grand obsession. And you want to share that other thing with people?
Yeah, we do. We want kids to be curious, Dad.
Right. I think it's a fantastic thing.
Tom,
Dad, whatever. Okay. We'll take it either way. But, Morgan, today we are talking about persistence and the probabilities of possibility. And what I find is that most successes we're on the wrong side of probability. And what I mean by that, Morgan, is, you know, most successes are told you can't do it. I have a letter in my office that basically came from an insurance company that said, don't even bother. And it was in over about 5-6 paragraphs, but basically said, don't do it. But I wonder why. Why does one person get it and another does not? I mean, you see it in your class. Why does one person understand this? Math comes very easy to them, and another person has to struggle, right? Mm-hmm. But the statistics, Morgan, are a little scary when you think about it, because of 100 people who reach retirement age, and I'm kind of going in a different direction, but you'll understand when we talk about probabilities, but according to insurance statistics, only one person out of every 100 that starts at the age of 25 will be wealthy. 4 out of the 100 will be financially independent. 15 will have some savings put aside. And the other 80% will be dependent on pensions, still working, or broke. And this is after a lifetime of well-paid work in the most affluent society in human history. How does this happen? The probability is 8 out of 10 of us will retire broke, right? Do you think part of it is we don't understand math? We don't understand probabilities?
I think we don't understand savings.
Well, that could be. But Morgan, you and your students in South High do deal in probabilities, right?
That is correct, Tom.
So I want to get your take on this important subject. About the possibility of probability, because why don't we understand savings, right? I mean, we just don't understand what our math, we don't understand compound interest, right? We don't understand a lot of things like that, and we're going to get into that more. Before we do that, though, Morgan, are there any websites you'd like to share with our success friends? Is there a South High website that they, our success friends, can find out about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. There's South High website.
Do you know the address, southhigh.org?
I believe it's
I'll tell you what, we'll try and find that, put it on our website, and we'll get that to you. All right?
Thanks, Tom.
southhigh.org. And I know,
Google South K-12.
South K-12. There you go. There's and you have a Facebook
MPLS.
Page, South High.
Search.
There we go. Okay. And, I mean, one of the things that we like about KLBB Radio, Morgan, is we have a large listenership over in right near the South High School, right?
Nice.
Isn't that right, Jenna, that they we get a lot of calls for our request lines from the people of South Minneapolis?
Absolutely, we do.
Fantastic. So I also, Morgan, want to remind our success friends to go to GPS, the number 4, success, and sign up for one of our free lemon drops. And all you do is you sign up by the little lemon drop icon, and you will receive a free lemon drop every day. A little inspiration that will melt in your mind the whole day long. And Morgan, I'm going to ask you something here, and you may or may not know this, but we're going to ask anyways. I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Are you familiar with the song, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter?
That would be a no, Tom.
I'm really kind of surprised. I think I go around the house singing it quite a bit. You may have just not known the title, right?
Sure, Tom.
So I'm going to sing it for you, Morgan. If you remember it, you can sing along with me, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going to write words oh so sweet. They're going to knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses at the bottom. I'll be glad. You're wondering what you're doing here, right, Morgan? But see, here's the point, Morgan. If they sign up for a lemon drop, at the end of the week, they get a success slice, right?
Yeah.
And the success slice is a congratulatory note at the end of the week that's saying, hey, you did a job well done. Because, Morgan, right now, who's telling you you're doing a good job at the end of the week? I mean, are your students' parents calling you up and saying, hey, bravo, bravo? Are your administrators telling you what a wonderful thing? Is your dad telling you how great you are? I mean, for most of us, you know, it's just us. So, hey, sign up for a lemon drop. We're going to tell you some good stuff. And we're also, Morgan, going to put a lot of kisses at the bottom. They'll be glad they got them. Okay? Are you excited there?
So excited.
Up in Morgan, right now, it's time for a lemon drop. Okay, hold on. Wait for it. Success friends, we want this little drop to cause a big splash in your day. And today's lemon drop is, don't let the probabilities stop your possibilities. Now, Morgan, before we get a little bit more into our program, I'm going to ask you, what are the different programs that you have brought into South High as far as teaching goes? Because, I mean, you we're going to talk about your award that you were nominated for. What are you trying to teach the students? How do you go about to make this different, to get people excited, to be having fun with math?
Well, we kind of have a couple different approaches, Tom. One of them is specifically like thinking about how we can use mathematics to like better understand the world we live in.
Okay.
Right. So like giving a purpose to the mathematics instead of just like,
I'll never use this. Yeah. Why am I learning this?
Why do I care? Who cares?
Right.
You know, and like when I first started teaching, I would tell them you care because it's going to be on the test. And that's, you know,
that didn't do much good for
afterwards. Kind of a BS answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. It was garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out, Tom.
Right. So now you're trying to put it, tie it in with their neighborhood, their world?
Yeah, we want them to use mathematics to better understand their world. So we might do things like look at geometric sequences and how they relate to, like, mortgage loans. And then specifically we can start to investigate, like, different type of practices when it comes to mortgage loans. Like, where are the prime lenders? Where are subprime lenders? And that led into whether or not Minneapolis was segregated. We could use standard deviation to start to explore that answer. And what's nice about it is a lot of people, I think, when they think about mathematics, they think there's only one right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding is that it's not about finding this one right answer. It's about using mathematics as evidence to make decisions in your life.
Hmm.
And so you're becoming more of a problem solver instead of just like a bystander.
And how does it, is it because of the probabilities that it's not, the probabilities are what causes it not to be one right answer? Is that what you're saying? Or
tell me more, Tom.
Well, I mean, you say it's not one right answer. How can it not be? I mean, I've always thought
math. Well, like how would you know if something's segregated or not? Like, dude, I tried to Google it. I tried to see, is there like a specific formula? And like, there's this one number and that tells you whether or not cities are segregated, and it's actually a lot more complicated than that.
Okay.
And so what it is it's allowing to use mathematics as actually evidence to make your own decisions. So instead of me answering the question for the students,
mm-hmm.
or the students or me knowing like there's a right answer, they're making a decision based on, you know, like evidence that's based in mathematics.
They're actually learning.
They're actually learning and applying that.
And then they're doing this within their own neighborhood, correct?
Yeah, and the thing to me that makes that a little bit more meaningful is a lot of students can actually calculate standard deviation fairly easy. You go through 1, 2, 3 examples. They can do it. They can, you know, compute it for a multiple choice question on a standardized test, and they can get it right. But a lot of times if you ask these students, like, when they would use standard deviation, none of them know.
I see. So they can memorize a formula, mm-hmm. but they don't understand it.
Yeah. Another reason why standardized testing pretty much tells you.
That's why your teachers love that standardized testing, right?
True, Tom.
But so what you're doing, instead of teaching a formula, you're teaching them the results. They're learning the results of how this stuff really helps them out.
Or if you're curious about something, like what are the different tools we need to know mm-hmm. and we need to have to figure things out.
Right. Well, I think when we talk to our success friends, I want to become a success. I think there are mathematics of success.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about probabilities, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Explain how people don't understand probability. I mean, let's talk about, like you were talking to me about when we roll the dice or when we flip the coin.
Well, I think there's a lot of myths about randomness and probability that we hold on to in our heads as human beings that aren't necessarily true.
Because we love sequences, right?
We have a sense of balance. You know, like if I know the probability of flipping a coin and it landing on heads is 50%, if I imagine 100 coin flips, they're going to be, you know, it's going to be pretty balanced out along the way. And that's not really how random behavior works in the real world. If you actually flip a coin 100 times, it's going to be very different than what you would imagine.
It's not going to be 50-50.
It's not going to be 50-50 or 60-40, or it might be.
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
Right.
Right? But so you'll find that, you know, like if you flip a coin and let's say it's heads four times in a row, a lot of times people are going to say, well, it has to be tails the next time. It's like the law of averages.
I think the casinos make money based on this.
Right. The casinos make a lot of money based on this. And the truth is that, you know, coins don't have memories. You know, like they have no idea that you just flipped four heads in a row, right?
So the fifth one is going to be whatever comes up.
And so it's like kind of retraining your brain. Like, what does it mean that the probability of a coin, if you flip a coin and it lands on head, is 50%? Like, what does that actually mean? Well, it means in the long run, after many flips, you know,
billions,
that it's going to approach this proportion of 50.50.
And that's where they come from. But the problem with people, with humans, is we think if it's one time, if it's a 50-50 chance, within 10 flips, it's going to be 50-50.
And it's we
want it to be, so that's how we kind of lean.
Yeah.
So what your students are learning is the probabilities are not short run, they're all long run.
Yeah, they're long run frequencies.
And they've got to come to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have fun with it.
Yeah.
Now, Morgan, one of the fun things they did is, I believe they got you or you came up with it, to learn how to ride a backwards bike.
Yeah, there's a video. It's on Smarter Every Day. There's a gentleman that actually his friends build him a backwards bike. And what's meant by that is that, when you turn left, the bike actually goes right. When you turn right, the bike actually goes left. And a lot of people, when they hear about this, they're like, oh, you know, like I kind of think differently than most people, so I can jump on this bike, I can ride this bike. But the truth is, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
When you switch the steering that way, it completely shifts your whole balancing system. And when you ride a bike, your balancing is something you do just automatically. You don't think about balancing. You've just trained your body to do it and to react. And so when you steer differently, when your body like goes to balance itself out so you don't fall, you're actually falling into the fall instead of...
Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what we learned. That's what
that's what you've learned. And so even though you know the bike is backwards, it doesn't mean you understand that. When you get on the bike to ride it.
Logically, you understand it. Emotionally or mentally, you cannot comprehend it.
Right.
What is this teaching the kids?
What are we hoping to teach the kids? Well, we're hoping a couple things. Like, I think, like I mentioned before, like the big goal this year is to build persistent students at getting smarter at math. And so one of the big things we talk about is persistence. And that's like continuing to work hard, even if things are difficult or you make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody that gets on this bike, they can't ride it. The guy that did the video on this, it took him 8 months to learn how to ride this bike.
Hmm.
And he practiced 5 minutes every single day for 8 months. Now he let his son ride the bike.
He got his
5 or 6, I can't remember exactly, and it took his son only 2 weeks, and that just talks to you about the differences.
The neuroplasticity of the brain.
Yeah.
Now, you've been learning to ride this bike.
Well, I've learned to ride the bike, Tom.
And how many months?
It took me approximately like 74 or 75 days.
Okay.
And so I spent 5 minutes every single day riding that bike. And a big part of it is like once you can train your brain to think about balancing again, like that's when you start to make progress. But you got to be willing to, you know, like know.
To let go of everything
you
know.
To let go and let people laugh at you, let people watch you just fail over and over.
I think if they come on the radio, it might help them to learn how to be laughed at, right? Even when you're not trying to be funny, Tom. Thank you, Jerry. But that is part of what it is. We have to learn to let go. I think that's one of the great things about success. If we want to be successful, it's usually we got to throw out everything we learned and start over. Would you agree with that? I mean, you came in and you were taught.
I don't know if you have to throw everything out that you already know.
Pardon?
I don't think you have to throw out everything you already know.
Well, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but you may have to look at things differently, right?
Okay, Tom.
Is that showing that age thing again?
I don't know what that's showing.
Success, friends. You're with me on this. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
All right, I think we should move on. So I don't know if this is a success conversation or a father-daughter conversation here at the moment. But I mean, the point being is we are told, we're trained on things. We're supposed to be a certain way. We're supposed to do
I think we're getting more and more obsessed with that instant gratification.
True.
And when we don't have it, it's getting easier and easier to walk away from whatever it is.
And that's where the daily persistence that you're trying to work with your students comes in.
Yeah, and like some kids, like I think, and like here's the deal with persistence. I think there's a scale. Like, it's not like either you are or you're not. You know, I think there's a scale, and I think, like, how you decide to be persistent could be different with different aspects of your life. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not like you're a persistent person, you're not. Like, there's things that you're going to be willing to be persistent at and things that you're not. And I think those are things you have to acknowledge. Now, one of the things is, like, we're trying to create that behavior in students in high school, which is, you know, sometimes a bit of a challenge. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's like an important piece of, like, getting stronger.
One of the things you're doing is the persistence calendar, right?
Yeah, we do a persistence calendar where we... You know, we defined persistence, we defined grit. We talked about what it means to be proactive versus reactive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the students kept track of, like, how they were being persistent every day in the mathematics classroom. What were they being persistent? How were they being persistent? How did they want to improve that? What were the different things they wanted to do?
And what do you find that has, or is it too early yet?
I think it's still early. I mean, we're still working on it.
Right. But yeah. they're embracing that? They like this?
You know,
they're having fun with it.
I mean, I think there's times that are fun and there's times that aren't. And I think that's the whole idea of persistence is like you're willing to do it even when it's not fun.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's the thing about success. We talk about adversity. To be successful, you have to go through adversity. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And so the question is, how do I deal with that adversity? Am I willing to fight it, find good in it, find the seed of equivalent benefit, or am I going to let it stop me and, you know, look for something else, maybe something easier, maybe go mm-hmm. work a job that I really don't like, but it pays the bills, it does what I want to do, but I'm not finding any real meaning in it. So would you agree, Morgan, that is a choice?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to insurance, you have a choice, and your Fierce choice is the Thomas Fierce Insurance Agency. Whether you need auto, home, life, health, or maybe even commercial insurance, your choice is clear. The Thomas Fierce Insurance Agency provides you with the best products for the best prices, and we have over 30 years' experience. We treat you the way we would want to be treated. We call it Blue Ribbon Service. And yes, you have a choice, but your Fierce choice for insurance is the Thomas Fierce Insurance Agency. Jerry, any thoughts?
Yeah, slow down. It's scary out there.
You can reach us at 651-738-0107 or on the web at fiercechoice.com. Okay, Morgan, we're talking about persistence. We're mm-hmm. talking about the probability of possibility. We talk about adversity. What else do we need to bring into this? Any thoughts you have right on the tip of your mind?
Well, I think the other one last quote I would like to end on.
Okay. Well, we've got eight minutes. We're not done yet.
Oh, we're not done
yet. Keep going.
Okay, I was joking.
You want to leave that one?
Well, no. I mean, we can still talk about it. Like, I think when kids come into the math classroom or whether they're engaging in any activity in life, you know, whether they think they can or whether they think they can't, they're right.
Right.
You know, and so there is that mindset or that shift that does have to take place in order for them.
Morgan, let me
grow.
Ask you this question. How many of your students do you see, and maybe even the teachers too, how open are people to understanding that their choice on the choices they make affect their life? Do they realize they can change their life by the choices they make, the way they think about things?
I think that's a tough question, Tom.
I mean, from when you're dealing, do you see people that are, like, stuck in, this is the way it should be, this is the thinking that I've used to?
I think there's a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset is what you're talking about.
Okay,
and
that's my thing. See, I'm not an educated person, so forgive me.
No, but I think, like, for example, like, I might have a growth mindset about teaching where I think my choices can make a difference.
Right.
But I have a very fixed mindset when it comes to cooking.
Okay.
I'm just bad at it. Like, what's the point?
Because that's our self-talk, right?
Right. So I just think that's a very fluid
right.
thing. And
I think it's, you know, it's most probably a whole topic for another show.
Whole nother topic, Tom.
But I mean, I think that's the thing with probabilities, though. People have a certain idea of, I probably can make it. Or I shouldn't try this because I probably will not make it. the probabilities are against me. Would you agree with that? I mean, you get students coming in that say, I'm bad at math.
Yeah.
I can't do math.
Yeah.
Do you believe that part of that is because that's their belief system?
Yeah.
And that's what you're trying to show with the bike, right? You can learn different belief systems.
Yeah, you can grow.
And that's part of what probabilities are, right? In success-oriented fields? You're disagreeing with me.
I guess I don't know 100% what you're saying in that sentence.
Well, that's fine. You know, maybe what we need is a lemon drop. Oh, and here it comes, right?
Ooh.
Wait for it. Look out. Morgan, we want this lemon drop to make a big splash in your day. Our lemon drop for the day is don't let the probabilities stop your possibilities. How's that?
It's great, Tom.
So, Morgan, let's get us back to probabilities. I mean, you know, again, you're dealing with students. Some are told from the very start they can accomplish whatever they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some are told they're not going to amount to anything. Correct? Kind of like, you know, I mean, I was told you can't do it, right? You were told, I remember you tell the story, you were going to go to Chicago University and you were told you're not going to succeed there, correct?
Correct, Tom.
And yet we choose to either accept that belief, someone else's belief, or we choose to form our own beliefs. Would you think that's true?
True, Tom.
And what's your feelings on that? You're making this a tough show here. Success.
I know. Sorry, Tom.
I mean, as a math teacher, in a world that's very structured, right? In a math class, math itself seems to the outside person, like you say, it's very structured. We think there's only one right answer. Here you are coming out to us and saying, nope, there's different answers.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I mean, I think an interesting problem. Like, there might be one right answer. There might be multiple right answers. But a lot of times you're going to find that there's multiple pathways to get there.
Okay.
And how you interpret that answer, you know, there could be multiple different
there
ways
you go.
To interpret that if you're talking about, like, a particular situation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a, I don't know, like, to me, a pretty lame problem.
Right.
Like, maybe there's only one answer and there's only one way to interpret it, but, like, what's the point of investigating that?
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
And is there a point to investigate or is there not? I mean, is it good to know the way why we're investigating, how we're investigating?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the process is...
is more important than the answer.
Yeah, way more important.
The journey's more important than the end result.
Yeah, and, like, how you get there and train your brain to think.
And, Morgan, as Earl Nightingale says, the definition of success is the active realization of a worthy goal. Which is kind of what you just defined. And I mean, I think you're a success. It doesn't have to be defined by money, by trappings, by whatever. But if we're following a grand obsession, we're excited about it, we feel we're making a difference, that is the definition of success. But it is, so the definition of success, there's a lot of different models of that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Tom.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Good. We got one agreement today. That's good. But we also, Morgan, it's now time for what we call our success secret. You know, we talk about success on Ensure Your Success, but we also want to give tips. And the crazy thing, Morgan, is it has to go with what your earlier quote was. And today's success secret is, just like you said, if you believe you can, you are halfway there. Right?
Right, Tom.
The longest journey starts with the first step. And Morgan, we're coming to an end. It's a fascinating subject. It really is. And I think the probabilities go into success so much. One last idea, and I want to thank Jenna, everybody here at KLBB. I didn't realize we're out of time here, Morgan. We want to thank you for coming in today. I definitely learned something from you. And I just want to remind our success friends not to allow anybody to take away your dreams. Persistence, intentional focus or goal setting, and self-talk are three simple principles that can allow you to succeed in any endeavor you choose. Jerry, any last thoughts?
Yeah. Slow down. It's scary out there.
Thanks, success friends. Bye.
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 Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away.
if you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band and he'll tour.